Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory. Father God, whatever it is you need to do here tonight, please do it quickly. Cover your people with the blood of the Lamb. I speak healing and deliverance all through the sanctuary. Father God, let your angels be about their work here tonight. Let them be going to and fro throughout the chairs, ministering to your people. And Father God, where there's healing needing to be done, heal, Father. And Father, we just thank you for your power, your authority. We thank you for your anointing that destroys every yoke. And Father, we just thank you for everything you have done and everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God wants me to, he doesn't want me to do nothing. He just wants me to read what he said. He's talking about precise insight. The body of Christ needs to understand that you need more insight to what's going on in the heavenly realm than what you already have. You need to understand you need to quit working through your flesh. Your flesh means absolutely nothing. You need to be working through the Spirit 100%. As I was sitting, the reason why I didn't get up at first, because God said, you say that I'm king, but you don't treat me like a king. You don't give me the honor and the time that is due me. And that saddens me, because we've heard enough and, you know, God's been with us enough that we should give him the honor that's due him. And we shouldn't just say with our lips he's king. He should be king of our hearts, our souls, our spirits, our bodies, and our mind. We should be consumed by the Father. Jesus should be utmost on our minds at all time. So he said precise insight. So I looked up precise. It means marked by exactness and accuracy of expression or detail. Marked by exactness and accuracy of expression or detail. And looked up the word insight. And it means clear or deep perception of a situation. The clear and often sudden understanding of a complex situation. Grasping the inner nature of things intuitively. Now I want to stop there. See, this right there, the body of Christ fails. You hear something and you don't really seek God's face to get the whole situation. You just run with a word or two that you've heard about something or somebody, and then you just say things off the top of your head, and then you cause more confusion. Your life isn't changed, and whoever you're talking to isn't changed, because you have not sought God's face to clearly see what's going on in the situation around about you, or even in your own life. Now, Revelation 4, verses 1 and 2 says, after this is John, the Revelator, speaking. He's, after these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. And this is what this is about, but this prophetic word that God's given us here is about, he wants us to go higher in him. Immediately, John says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. If you notice, as God gives this prophetic word, he's talking about us going to the throne room. All right? My people must, that's the end of Revelation 1 and 2. Now, this is where Jesus starts speaking. My people must have precise insight into everything that is going on around about them, and the only way they will have this precise insight is if they stay in the heavenlies around the throne room. You are not staying in the heavenlies around the throne room, so you don't have insight, let alone precise insight. I have already, and this is God speaking, I've already designated those, I want you to listen to what's being said here. I have already designated those that will stay in the throne room and receive precise insight and then take it back to my churches and the communities. He's already designated those people. Many will glean fresh new information at the throne room, and many will glean tactics that the world has never dreamt about. This is a very serious word to God. This is all God. He spoke this to me in the wee hours in the morning. So you really need to be taking this into your spirit, and you really need to be changing. You should already be changed, because he said, I have already designated those that will stay in the throne room. He goes on to say, these chosen ones are like Moses, and they will do the forerunning for the others to grow by. You see that? Many will be upset because they are not one of the forerunners that go to the throne room and glean. But they would not pay the ultimate price in the here and now before I brought you to this time and season. And didn't God warn us of that? If you don't get it right now, you're going to miss. Doesn't say you're going to miss altogether, but you're not going to, you won't be a designated one from what he's saying here tonight. God goes on to say, if you are truly my child, you will never envy one who comes to the throne room. You will be happy that someone goes and receives so you can glean from this information. If you didn't pay the price and you aren't the one that's designated, I didn't say you lost your salvation. I'm just saying you're not one of those going to go to and fro to the throne room, on a daily basis. I tell you, and this is God, I tell you a truth, what is coming upon this earth will totally shock not only the church, but the entire world. When they see the signs, wonders, and miracles, there will be great gnashing of teeth because they had a chance to sit in the heavenly throne room and they chose their wild side and thought, just like Samson, the anointing would always be there, but not so. Remember, I told you that this morning. This is where I said he said that. He will withdraw his grace. You think he can keep on sinning? That's not so. Then he went on to say, this precise insight will become a norm for those that I have predestined, designated. In fact, they will get upset if they do not get precise insight every day. You must understand that you will need daily insight if you're going to do the great and mighty works for the kingdom of light. So that's telling me we're going to have to sit at his feet every day to get this insight. You're going to have to take time. Determine your heart. I'm going to take this hour or this 15 minutes and I'm going to sit before the Lord and I'm going to get the insight that I need. God said, you must also understand that the kingdom of darkness knows of this plan of mine and he is furious. Have you wondered why you have been doing one battle after another? Have you been wondering when is it ever going to stop? Well, this is your answer. Now tell me, wasn't it worth it all? Be quiet. Wasn't it worth the furnace of affliction? And wasn't it worth a 40-year wandering in the desert? Then he says, I, your father, am laughing right now, for I hear your heart. Yeah, right. That's why I told you to be quiet. Some are saying, yeah, right. You know, but none, this is wonderful. Oh, come on, soldier. What you went through was just a little skirmish. You whiners. There is bigger battles and bigger giants in the land. I am laughing with you and not at you. All right? Boy, if you could only right now see what is going on in the heavenlies, you would be jumping and leaping for joy. The vibrations are everywhere, and the heavenlies themselves are vibrating with the stomping of feet that is going on with this great jubilation. See, this is why God is wanting us to have joy today. I still didn't feel that true joy. I still didn't feel that emptiness of yourself and just receive the joy of the Lord and just enter in. God says, everyone that has fought the good fight of faith and have determined in their heart that no matter what, this is what you determined, no matter what, I'm going on, I'm getting back up, and I'm not going to allow this little setback destroy my destiny in God. Those who said that, he says, you're in for the biggest surprise of your life. Because of their determination, they shall walk with an anointing that will surely destroy every yoke, and not one devil in hell will ever be able to slow them down ever again. I have spoken, and so shall it be. Do you see that? The ones of you who have determined, ones of us who have determined to go on no matter what, we're in for one of the biggest surprises of our lives. Isn't that awesome? Then he says, the enemy knows when he has to back off, and he knows it is back off time, and he also knows he is about to be booted out of the kingdom once and for all. This is truly showdown time for those who have kept the faith and run the race as a good soldier. Now we have to stop there because God's been telling us the time is here now when the enemy can no longer harass you. He's been telling us that, but he keeps harassing. But see, we had to stand in faith knowing that this is what God said. And now we have to prove to the devil that we believe what God has said. All right? So he said the enemy knows when he has to back off, and he knows it's back off time, and he also knows he is about to be booted out of the kingdom once and for all. This is truly showdown time for those who have kept the faith and run the race as a good soldier. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God, this is, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. This is Paul talking to Timothy. He tells him, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, Timothy, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. He's talking, the word right now tonight is talking to every one of you in here that has a calling upon your life. Paul says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but able to also to all who have loved his appearing. Now let's stop there. God's told me a couple years ago, daughter, don't let anybody steal your crown. And, you know, and I told you that, and I told you all, don't let anybody steal your crown. It doesn't matter what people are doing to you, you keep moving. It doesn't matter what they're saying about you, you keep moving. I don't care if they call you a fanatic, a liar, I don't care, a cheat, I don't care what they call you. You keep on moving, and you keep doing the thing God told you to do. Don't let anybody steal your crown. And you're going to have to be adamant in your walk with God at this given time. I'm just hearing God say that, so I'm saying it. You're going to have to be adamant and let the devil and everybody around you know that you are not playing games, that you are finished with game playing, and that you're going forth full throttle to do the works of the Father. God goes on to say, what a marvelous sight it will be all across the nations, revival fires after revival fires breaking out, soul after soul being brought back into the kingdom. Even those that are on the edge of the precipice of dropping into hell will be snatched out of the furnace. And Jude 1, 20 through 23 says, but you, beloved, Jude's talking, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. There's some people you're just going to have to go down into hell and pull out through prayer. And I'm hearing God say, in long suffering. God goes on to say, no longer will my body walk around with a shamed face, for the knowledge will increase in my body, and the enemy will be put to shame. And Daniel 12, 4 says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. This is the time of the end. A lot of people are running to and fro frantically, and knowledge is increasing. Then God says, where the enemy had my body hoodwinked into thinking they were not good enough, they will finally have the insight into heavenly kingdom workings, and they will realize they have been forgiven, and they are more than qualified to walk as a son or daughter of the Most High God. Do you understand that you are qualified to walk as a son or daughter of the Most High God? If you have repented, then God has received your repentance, and you need to just go on and do the works of the Father. Quit sitting back there in a hole somewhere, feeling sorry for yourself, and just allowing the enemy just to beat you up. Move forward in God. And God goes on to say, if you don't think hell is upset, think again. The enemy is scurrying around trying to regroup. He cannot believe all that is going to happen suddenly, and he is not prepared for this action. Then he says, was the enemy prepared for what I did with Samson while he was blinded and grinding corn? Absolutely not. You see, he doesn't know all things like he portrays. Only I know all things. And we know the story of Samson. They cut his hair off, gouged his eyes out, threw him in prison, made him grind corn. But while he was grinding that corn, his hair was growing back in. And he asked God to let him just one more time have victory over his enemies. And look at all the people he killed. When they brought him out to make sport of him, and he leaned against his pillars and brought the building down. He killed all those people. All right? Then God went on to say, where are you at with me? That is a question you always ask me. Well, you're about ready to find out once and for all, so let's read that again. Where are you at with me? That is a question you always ask me. Well, you're about ready to find out once and for all. You are about to be like a little child in the ice cream parlor, not able to pick out the flavor of ice cream you want. But when you do, oh, such joy as you lap it up, that is how it's going to be with you. Oh, what joy! Joy unspeakable and full of glory. A joy that the devil can't give and a joy that the devil can't steal. Anything that comes from my throne is total and complete. And I gave you total and complete joy this morning. See, he told me to do the morning service about joy. And then he gave me this about 2 o'clock in the morning. All right. So he says, and complete joy gave you. I gave you total and complete joy this morning. And I will continue to water that joy with my glory. See this? And it shall never cease to come forth and destroy every enemy of the cross. Then he says, shout joy unspeakable and full of glory. Shout it, children. Shout it. He wants you to speak. A shout. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Shout it. Now. Thank you for being obedient. The devil heard that, say. And he knows that you know that he knows that he's lost. Now, God went on to say, you will go where no man has gone before. Then I said, we can only lead others where we ourselves have gone. If you haven't gone there, you can't lead somebody else there. Then God went on to say, you will walk the corridors of hell, and you will open the prison doors and set the captives free, just as the angelic host did for Peter. And you know how the angel came and opened the prison door for Peter, and Peter walked out of there free. Isaiah 43:1 says, but now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Are you listening? He's talking to you guys in here tonight. You belong to God. And then he goes on to say, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you should not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Now, I put that in there because I really felt as I was reading that scripture that God was talking about when we go to hell to bring the lost souls out, we're not going to be burned by the fires in hell. All right? Then he goes on to say, you must understand that with this insight comes the anointing to do all that my word tells you that you can do. He's not going to give you precise insight and not anoint it. He's going to anoint those that he sent that allows to come and get this insight. Then he says, jump for joy, my little ones, and receive all that I have been speaking into your ears. Jump for joy. Spread the good news that Jesus Christ came, and he is well and alive. And he will return for his chosen ones and snatch them away before the great and dreadful day. And this is why I was having all the happy songs. And I had the songs before I got this, all right? God just told me what songs to get. And so let's read that again. Jump for joy, my little ones, and receive all that I have been speaking into your ears. Jump for joy. Spread the good news that Jesus Christ came and he is well and alive. And he will return for his chosen ones and snatch them away before that great and dreadful day. And he said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and mighty to behold. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. So I put down the scripture Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I do these scriptures because God said, go to that scripture. That's why these scriptures are in here, all right? Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of God's glory. And God has taken his remnant people, and he's going to transfer that glory into each one of us. And then we are going to carry that glory, tangible glory, to the people, and the glory is going to overflow out of us into those that we come in contact with. This is how it's going to work. God said, oh, my children, don't you feel the excitement in the atmosphere over and around about you? No, you don't. Say that again. Oh, my children, don't you feel the excitement in the atmosphere over and around about you? Don't you feel the wind of my presence? Don't you understand what I am telling you? I know it is hard to comprehend, but it is real. It is tangible, and you can run with my words. My words are truth, and they are alive with action, and they never return back to me void. Great and mighty are my truths, and you must proclaim these truths wherever your feet trod. I tell you what, I'd like to set a fire under you right now. You can't. I've never seen such unexcitable people in my life. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Isn't that what God just said here? His word's not going to return to him void. If he sends you forth to do something, it's going to happen. It's just going to happen. You're not going to be able to stop it. Then God went on to say, as you sit in the throne room, I will reveal more and more knowledge that has not yet been revealed. I will give you the deep secrets of the heavenly kingdom that must be given in this dispensation of time. A lot of people are already designated to go to heaven. They've already gone there, and they've come back and given that deep revelation. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 said, after these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. And I will show you things which must take place after this. I'm going to tell you, some of you missed the calling the couple times that God said, come up here. I want you to come up into my third heaven. And you didn't go. You were still consumed by the things in this earth. I don't know what's going to happen now. I really don't. But I wouldn't quit, though. I'm going to tell you, I would not quit. I would just keep believing. I was one of them that God had already designated to go up into heaven to get this information. Then God said, watch as my angelic army fights the battles that rage around about you. Watch and see what I am doing in this dispensation of time. He says, watch as my angelic army fights the battles that rage around about you. We have to understand that the angels are fighting our battles. And God told me that the angels would have to fight our battles because we're going to be too busy doing God's work. We are not going to have time to fight the battles also. So quit looking at your battles. Instead, look around and say, God, open my eyes so I can see the angels and what they're doing. You know, we have to ask God, open my eyes so I can see the angels. Isn't that what Isaiah said? God opened his eyes so he can see what I see. And if we don't ask God to open our eyes, we're never going to see into the spirit realm. Not unless you don't want to see, and that's fine. Then God goes on to say, this is a time as never before. You have never gone this way before, and you will never go this way again, because this way is paving the way for my son to return for his peoples. This is a time as never before. God's been telling us that. You have never gone this way before, and you will never go this way again. And see, this is our trouble. We've never gone this way before, so we don't quite understand what God's done with it, so we're just sort of standing in amazement. But instead of standing in amazement, I have found out we just need to just enter in with God and thank him that he's taken us this way, even though nobody else has ever gone there, that he's taken us this way, and he's going to do a great mighty works in us and through us and for us. In Joshua chapter 3, an event was about to happen that would change their lives forever. If you read Joshua chapter 3, you're going to, that an event was about to occur, and it did occur, and it did change their lives forever. This is what I'm saying. This isn't God right here. The very same thing is true in our lives. We are about to embark on an adventure that will forever change our lives. And that was me speaking right there. I'm saying that because God has been telling me personally that over and over and over again. Where I'm taking you, you've never gone before. This place I'm taking you to is forever going to change your life. Right now, you couldn't even comprehend where I'm taking you to. So just relax in me. And just enjoy the ride until I get you there. Amen. Now, God went on to say, this is God speaking, your government is tumbling, but it is not because of man. It is because of my strong right arm. I am doing what I have purposed in my heart to do, and I will accomplish all that needs done to wipe sin out of my government. And then I just put in the scripture, Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God is in our government. We need to keep our nose out of it. The only thing we need to do is pray. We need to quit judging. We need to quit reading the junk they're writing and believing it, and we just need to pray. Amen, like never before. God goes on to say, the naysayers can say whatever they desire, but that will not stop my arm of judgment. Pray for those in authority over you. Pray without ceasing, for they are just the vessel I'm working through. Remember, we always say, well, don't kill the messenger. You know? And the people that God's working through, they're just the vessel, just the messengers. God said, you see, if you were sitting in the throne room at this present time, you would know exactly what is going on. And you wouldn't be walking around in confusion, wondering what on earth is going on. And he said, I am going on. That is what is going on. Stay in peace and pray for peace. So let me read that again. That was a little bit confusing, wasn't it? He said, you see, if you were sitting in the throne room at this present time, you would know exactly what is going on. And you wouldn't be walking around in confusion, wondering what on earth is going on. And God said, this is all God. I am going on. That is what is going on. Stay in peace and pray for peace. Now, I want to stop there because I prayed about the shutdown of the government. I'm going to stick my nose out here and maybe get in trouble. And God said, yes, the government's going to shut down, but only for 2 days. So I'm watching as they tick away the hours, you know, to see if I really heard God right. But he said, yes, there will be a government shutdown. So now I'm just waiting to see how this thing's playing out. And see, I'm hoping that I'm one of those that he said, let's come up there and see what's going on before time. Are you understanding this, guys? You know, you have to be, all right, so you hear about these things going on. You say, oh, isn't that too bad? Why don't you just ask God, God, what's really going on here? What's really going to happen? I do that all the time. It's really none of my business sometimes, per se, but I would just like to know so I'm not caught off guard. Amen? Come on. Then God goes on to say, this night I am extending the invitation to come higher into my throne room and continue to sit at my feet this night. Now the next one will excite you little book writers in here. Book writers, get ready to have books downloaded as you sleep. You would get up thinking you are a book and then realize you must begin to write like never before. Some of you will have books downloaded into your bosom that you will write, and the knowledge will blow the people's minds. If you are a romantic, you will write many books about love and marriage. You will write the heavenly books, and as they are being read, their entire beings will be changed, and they will understand agape love in a brand new way. So if God is dropping these books into you, then they have an anointing on them, and they're going to touch people's lives. See? Now, if you're political, Christopher Gore and Allen, you will write political books, and every word will be a right-on-time rhema word. You will have foresight into the future, and you will sketch pictures that later on down the road, as they read the books and look at the pictures, they will sit in awe and wonder how you knew what before it ever happened. I think this is awesome. I tell you, people, I'm on the move, and my kingdom is alive with activity. Everything that pertains to this earth will be revealed to you as you are seated in heavenly places with me. Everything will be revealed to you as you are seated in heavenly places with him. Then he goes on to say, peoples, quit thinking this is a strange thing I am doing. This is normal for my kingdom of light. As you stand in my presence, you will begin to understand all things. See, the reason why you walk around all befuddled is because you don't stay in his presence. Now, the music in my house is going to change. My son is not dead, and neither is the music in heaven. Heavenly sounds will begin to emerge in my houses because of the ones who sat in the heavenly throne room and allowed me to download these songs into their bosoms. So you're going to have heavenly songs being written in heaven. They will be burned in them, and they will not forget them, and these songs will carry heavenly melodies and notes. Not melodies and notes of the world. You just wait and listen, and then you will see and hear. Oh, just praise me right now. I'm going to read again about the music, though, because you guys aren't with it yet. The music in my house is going to change. My son is not dead, and neither is the music in heaven. It keeps telling me all heaven rejoices. Every time I read about heaven, it says all heaven rejoices, right? We don't rejoice enough in here. Heavenly sounds will begin to emerge in my houses. Why? Because of the ones who sat in the heavenly throne room and allowed me to download these songs into their bosoms. They will be burned in them, and they will not forget them, and these songs will carry heavenly melodies and notes, not melodies and notes of the world. You just wait and listen, and then you will see and hear. It took me 4 hours, believe it or not, to do one song service for this morning. I thought, as I'm sitting there before God and just keep, you know, trying to find these, the right, I could find lots of songs, but it had to be the song that God wanted. I said, God, I could have a whole sermon done by now, and I still have two sermons to go. But it took me that long. I had to sit in his throne room to get the songs that he wanted, not the songs you thought were right, but the songs that he wanted. And if you notice, the songs we sang were happy, joyful songs in the morning, and they were songs about Christ in the morning and in the evening. All right. God goes on to say, each and every event that occurs from now on will come directly from my throne room. Each and every event that occurs from now on will come directly from my throne room. You talk about revival, you haven't seen anything yet. You just wait and see what occurs in this dispensation of time. Amen. From those who sit in the heavenly throne room, I am raising up teachers. I thought this was interesting. These teachers will teach the truth of my word and not what they hear man say. All who listen will feel the anointing and know that it is a truth, and they will grasp hold of the truth and be set free. There are so many false teachers on the scene, but that too will end real soon. I will replace them with my anointed ones that will first of all glean the truth in my heavenly throne room and then bring it back and teach it to my children. I want to stop there. You know, a lot of people just go, oh, I got to get a teaching together today. And they just sit down and do a teaching. That is not the way to get a teaching together. You have to sit in the presence of the Father. You have to listen for his voice. If he doesn't want to speak for 2 hours, then he won't speak for 2 hours. But you don't write a word down until he speaks. And he tells you what to write. And then when you do that, then there's an anointing that will destroy the yokes. There's too many people that get high and mighty and think, I'm a teacher. I'm a song leader. I'm an evangelist. And then you just go. You never sit in the presence of God to see what he wants to do. When I used to evangelize, when I first was on the scene, every time I went somewhere, they said, we got a little cubby hole over here. We want you to go in there so you can pray. I said, I don't want to go in there. Thank you. You don't want to go in there and pray? No, I already did that at home. I've already sought God's face. I already know what he wants to do. I already have the anointing. And I said, I don't want to go in that little cubby hole. I mean, it's a nice room, but they was always trying to put me in that room so I could pray, so I could get up there and preach. I had to do that before I ever got there. Being there for 5 minutes when I get there is not going to make it. I had to sit in his presence a long time so I could have the anointing to give forth so he could speak through me what he wanted to speak through me. Are you understanding? See, too many people get up and they just do. That doesn't cut it. So, then he goes on to say, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon my children, and you shall do great and mighty things for my kingdom. So, you know, if you're designated to go up into the heavenly room, throne room, then his anointing is going to rest upon you, and great and powerful things are going to happen through you. Now, this is what he said. Your assignments have been posted on the walls of heaven. Come to the throne room and receive your assignments. I don't know what God wants me to do. That's because you haven't gone to the throne room to get your assignment. Amen? Come on. I don't want to ever hear you look at me them little, you know, dazed eyes and say, I don't know what God wants me to do. I just don't have no idea. Well, go to the throne room and sit at his feet and get your assignment. Well, I want you to tell me what. No, I'm not going to tell you what God wants you to do. Amen. You know, as many times as I sit here and, you know, well, you know, when God will just start using me to prophesy, and he just powerful, and he just hits everybody. Other times I'm sitting back there saying, God, what do you want me to do? He doesn't say nothing. So I send whoever he tells me to send, as you have to go minister, because God's not letting me do it. The reason why he does it is because you have not listened to the other word he's told you through me, so he's not going to speak to you again through me. Are you listening? So he'll just use another prophet to speak to you. I want you to understand this. You close down God's word to you because you're still questioning the first word he told you. So then I put down Daniel chapter 12, verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this river bank and the other on that river bank. And on one side to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time, and when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. See what it says there? When the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And the Lord said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. And we are in the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. We see right now where wicked people are becoming more wicked. And we are also seeing where holy people are becoming more holy. So we are in the end times that God's talking to Daniel about. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now let's go back to verse 10. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, when was the daily sacrifice taken away? Wasn't it when Jesus came on the scene? All right. And the abomination desolation is set up. When I was first born again, God told me, he gave me the scripture where it said about the abomination of desolation. So it was already in effect in 1977. Then he said, from that point on, there should be 1,290 days. I'm not going to go into that because they've already figured that all out. Then the scripture goes on to say, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you, he's talking to Daniel, go your way to the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. We are in these scriptures right now. We are in the end times. And I'm hearing him say, God has been preparing us for quite a few years now to get us ready to go out and minister and bring in the harvest of lost souls. And then I wrote down here, we need to understand that Noah, John the Baptist, Jesus, Paul, all went where no man went before. If you read about them, did they not? They were all forerunners. And God accomplished great works through them all. We are now in a new dispensation of time. And we are the forerunners that God wants to use to bring in this harvest. He is going to use these people in this dispensation time to bring in the harvest. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He can't wait any longer because it is time. And church, because this is all prophetic, this is all God spoke to me. All 10 pages of it was prophetic, and he called it precise insight. We need to be about the Father's business. We need to be going to the throne room, and we need to get insight to what's really going on in this earth. Everything that has been going on in the government since we've got our new president, I continually take it before the throne of grace, ask God, and I have it all documented. What's going to happen, he tells me every time, and every time it's exactly as he's told me. We need to be understanding what's going on in this dispensation of time. And you guys that are going to be writing, that do write books, you need to really go to the throne of grace and get these books downloaded into you so that the correct things are being written in books. You know, I've been hearing lately where people wrote books, let's say 10 years ago. Now they're saying this is an updated version of my book. And, you know, in new insight has been given. So I've updated my book. I'm probably wrong. But I really feel that if you were sitting at the feet of Jesus when you wrote the book, that he would have downloaded everything that was truth, and it would have been in that book. That's what I believe. I'm probably wrong, but you know, that's just how my mind works. So if we would just, instead of just writing a book so it brings in money, and that's what a lot of people do, because I hear books bring in money, instead of doing that just for the money part of it, why don't you go to the throne of grace and let God download the truth into you? And then it will not only bring you in money, but it will also cause the bonds to be broken off of other people as you read your books. I know for one, Brett, God told him when I first met him that he wanted him to write books, and the money from his books is where that's how he would keep his family. It took him quite a few years to start, and he's still not on full steam. And I don't know if he sits in God's presence to get the words for his books or how he gets them, but you know what? If you're not sitting in the presence of God to get the words for your books, they're not going to do anything anyhow but sell. They're not going to change your life. You understand what I'm saying here? So we just don't want to sell something. We want things to change people's lives forever. Forever. And when you go in the street, you just want to go in the street and say, I'm a street worker. You want to go in the street and change lives. And you want to hear testimonies. You could write books of testimonies, you know, of what God did to people on the streets. You ministers in here, you just don't want to get up and get together a message and give it because it sounds good. It has to be anointed from God. It has to be exactly what he wants to give, or it's not going to do any good. If you're a song leader, you have to be set before God to get the correct songs, or your songs are going to fall to the ground. Are you listening? Really, this morning I wanted to give the teaching on joy before we did the song service, because I knew that you were not going to have the joy in the song service. I just knew that in my spirit. And the joy didn't come forth the way it should have. You really weren't changed totally and completely and really got the joy of the Lord. I hope that at the altar call that you did get the joy. And he said if you did, that he's going to water it with his glory and it won't ever leave. Are you understanding how you really have to go to the foot of the cross? You really have to go to the throne room of God and sit at the feet of God. And to get to not just insight, but the precise insight where the devil or nobody else can come along and say, that's not right. It is going to be right. It's going to be anointed and it's going to change lives. I'm hearing God say, this is a dispensation of time that you live in that many who have already come to be with me would have loved to have been in. Why don't you love it, he's saying. Why aren't you excited with the fact that you are going to be the one to bring in the great harvest of souls? When God first brought me on the scene, he sent me to pastors. I ministered to pastors all over. And he told them they were in sin. He was giving them a chance to change. They did not change. Instead, they said I was of the devil. That's not my problem. That's theirs. God sent me to them, and some of them don't have their ministries any longer. Why? Because they would not change, and they also would not change, but then they started running me down and telling people, don't believe a word she told you. Because you were influential, then they believed you, because after all, you're the big wheel. And if you say she's not of the God, then she's not a God. You see what I'm saying here? I don't care if you think I'm of God or not. I know who I am in Christ, and I know what God has sent me forth to do. And I'm getting ready to go into a dispensation of time of great signs, wonders, and miracles. He told me that in here, but I took it out. I didn't want to toot my horn here. But come on, guys. Do you really, truly want to get insight from heaven? You know, Grace, you could sit at the feet of Jesus, and he could show you flag and steps that nobody's ever done. And the anointing would be so strong, it would bring the glory in the church, and people go out in the spirit while you was flagging. You understand this? This is how important it is to stay in the presence of God. And I'm hearing God say, time is short. What are you going to do with the time? This laying before you. You know, we're going to go pretty soon into a new year. Are you going to take your old baggage with you? Some of you are saying no, they're just standing there staring at me. If you take your old baggage, you just might keep on walking. Because God can't use you if you take your old baggage, because he's filling up brand new wineskins. And he can't put new wine in old wineskins. And God has shown me that some are going to fall, never to get back up again. You've been stumbling along, but you're finally going to fall because you just flat won't allow him to empty you out so he can fill you up with the new. Where are you at with God? You need to answer that yourself in your own heart tonight. Where are you truly at?